Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to SMRP BV's annual results call for the year 2016-2017. As always, I have with me Mr. Gauba, Mr. Kunal Malani, and Vipin with me on this call. We are very proud of what we've been able to achieve in the year. As usual, Vipin will take you through the presentation of all the details of the year, and then we'll open the floor up for questions. Vipin, please take it away.
Thank you, Aman. Good morning, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Vipin Jain, and I am the Chief Financial Officer of the company. I will be making a brief presentation on the audited consolidated financial results of the company for the year ended March 2017. The presentation, as usual, is already on the company website, and during this call, I will be referring to the same presentation. I would like to start with slide number two, and slide number two gives some sort of a highlight for the fiscal year 2016-2017. 2016-2017 was another successful year for the group, with revenues crossing euro 4.5 billion mark, with a growth of 14% over the previous year. Consistent adjusted EBITDA also showed improvement, moving to 8.4% for the fiscal year 2016-2017, against 7.8% for the previous year, 2015-2016. If you look at the order book, we have an order book of close to 12.9 billion euro as at 31st March 2017. We have some more details in the subsequent slides. Despite significant capital expenditure, the net leverage of the company was at 1.4x, which was again significantly better than the previous year. During the year, we issued notes for $400 million, and this was done in June 2016 and August 2016. We have a corporate credit rating from Standard & Poor's, and during the year, Standard & Poor's reaffirmed the long-term corporate credit rating of BB+ with stable outlook. We started production from two greenfield during the year for SMP plants. One was in China, in Beijing, and one was in Mexico, and these were significant big plants, and which is also catering to the order book which we have currently. Two plants are under construction, which is one plant in Kecskemét in Hungary. The SOP of this plant is scheduled to be towards the end of the current fiscal year, which is 2017-2018, and will ramp up in the subsequent years. One plant, which is a plant in U.S., Alabama, would be starting the commercial production in the next year towards quarter one of 2018-2019. During the year, there were two changes in the corporate structure, which were explained over the previous call during the quarterly results. Just to summarize, we acquired the share capital of a company called COBIC. This was a very small acquisition of 1.6 million euro revenue. We also acquired the majority control over the board of director of a company where we hold 50% shareholding, and this change was done effective 1st of January 2017. Subsequent to this change, we are now consolidating this company as a subsidiary. I move to slide number three, and slide number three represents the corporate structure of the company. There is no significant change in the corporate structure. We can see one new name over there, which is Motherson Innovation Lights GmbH & Co. This is the acquisition which was done for COBIC, and then subsequently the name was changed to Motherson Innovation. I move to slide number four. Again, there is no change on slide number four. 48 manufacturing plants, 11 module centers, presence in 18 countries, and approximately 25,000 employees for SMRP BV locations. Slide number five represents the revenue and EBITDA for the group for the fiscal year 2017. If you look at the revenue, SMRP BV, I already explained, recorded a growth of 14% on a consolidated basis. If you look at both the segment of the business, SMP and SMR, both the businesses showed consistent improvement. SMP had a revenue growth of 14%, SMR had a revenue growth of 13%. Adjusted EBITDA grew by 22% on a consolidated basis, and improvement coming from SMP by 28% growth and SMR 15% growth. As a percentage to revenue, the EBITDA moved from 7.8% to 8.4%, and for SMP, it moved from 6.4% to 7.2%, and for SMR, it is in double digit, moving from 10.4% to 10.6% EBITDA. We move to slide number six, and again, slide number six gives a bridge from the reported EBITDA to adjusted EBITDA. And just to give a little bit more flavor on the adjusted EBITDA, we do adjustment only for the startup cost and which is only for the greenfield. In the past, there were a couple of questions that, you know, what are these startup costs? And I would like to clarify that these startup costs are only for two plants, and these two plants are the greenfield plant for the SMP business. One is in Kecskemét in Hungary, and one is in Tuscaloosa in USA. We do not report any adjustment on account of any new projects which are in the existing plant, just to clarify. And this is only for the two greenfields, which we are reporting as the adjustments. And then there is also one more adjustment for 6.3 million, which was recorded as gain because of the difference between the fair valuation and the investment for CEFA, which I explained was because of the change from earlier joint venture accounting to now a subsidiary accounting because of the control on the board of directors. I move to slide number 7, which gives our revenue split by customer. And if you look at on an overall basis, 14% revenue growth, but if you look at a couple of key customers like Daimler, Daimler moved from 8% of the total pie of SMRP BV revenue to 13%, which means that Daimler growth is much more stronger than the growth in the other customers. While all the customers grew, because on the overall basis, there is a revenue growth of 14%, with Daimler becoming now one of the key customers, we are also getting moving towards 3CX15 philosophy, which means a much more balanced and diversified customer portfolio. If you look at slide number 8, which gives a geographical footprint expansion of the company, and again here we see that the growth is coming largely from US, Mexico, and China. China moving from 6.3 to 7.6% of the overall revenue, US moving from 6.4 to 8.5, and Mexico also moving from 3.2 to 4.2. So this is also getting much more balanced. And as we start production from these two greenfields, which we are talking about in Kecskemét and Tuscaloosa, this will further diversify. If you look at slide number 9, which gives a detail on the order book, we have been declaring our order book every 6 months, which is March and September. And if you look at the order book, which was at 31st March 2017, we are talking about an order book of 12.9 billion order. And again, just to clarify for some of the listeners who are joining the call for the first time, when we say the order book, it means that those orders which have been awarded to the company and which have not put into production. So these are the orders where we are working on, and it has not put into the production. The moment we start any new order in any of the plant, we then take it out from the order book. This is the complete lifetime value. And if you look at the bridge from March 16 to March 17, we see that 4.6 was removed from the order book, and these were the orders which were put into commercial production, largely from China, Mexico, and some other plants. And then we got new orders, and the lifetime value of the new orders is 4 billion, which will start, you know, production in the later years. So 12.9 billion is the order book. During the year, we got new orders for 4 billion lifetime value. Looking at slide number 10, we looked at the working capital. Working capital showed an improvement moving from 13 days in March 16 to 10 days in March 17. And if you look at, by and large, most of the elements were consistent. If you look at inventory was consistent at 15 days, we see an increase in payable from 52 to 63 days. And this was largely because we are working on a lot of new engineering projects for the new plant, and the engineering creditors have a little longer period, and we are also having some, I would say, extra payables because of the new plants, because of the capex side. If you look at receivables, we have this time broken up receivable into three elements just to give a better perspective and more transparency. If you look at the receivable on the serial sales side, this is consistent at 26 days. When we look at the receivable amortization, just to explain here, in the automotive industry, there are a couple of receivables which are recovered over the program life. We call it as amortization. These are largely in the nature of secondary equipment, which are specific to the project. So when we start a project, we have this to the customer because the ownership belongs to the customer, but then the payment is made to us over the program life. Since during the year we've started a lot of new projects, this amount has gone up to 129 million euros, and as expressed as days, it has moved from 7 days to 10 days. The last element which I would like to again a little bit explain here is the receivable, which is on account of engineering WIP. So this is basically the engineering work in progress, which was built up again to support the new programs which would be launched in the subsequent years, again coming largely from KSMA, Tuscaloosa, and from the existing plants. Since we consolidate the result under IFRS, we have to follow a percentage of completion method, and under the percentage of completion method, we have to reclassify the tooling or the engineering inventory as receivable. So this 22 days is largely because of the engineering working capital, which will get liquidated over the subsequent years coming period because of the launch of new project. But then this is shown as receivable for the purpose of IFRS. I move to slide number 11, which is the capital expenditure for the group, 319 million on a consolidated basis coming from SMP, 239, 80 million coming from SMR, and the investment in green and brown field is close to 60%, so this is 190 million, and this is again coming from USA, the new plant for SMP, Hungary again the new plant for SMP, Mexico, we started this new plant for SMP, so there was some amount of capex which went in this year into this new plant, and we are also expanding paint shop for the SMR business. We are also increasing our vertical integration for SMR business in Korea and China, and we also started a new plant in India for SMR business to expand the capacities. I move to slide number 12, which gives a detail on the cash flow. Operating profitability continues to be strong, generating 356 million euros cash. There was a change, positive change in the working capital, which is 25 million, and we paid income taxes of 69 million. So cash flow from operating activity was 312 million approximately. The cash flow on account of purchase of assets was 243, and cash flow from the issuance of bond, which was $400 million bond, was equivalent to approximately 350 million euro. Which was used to partly refinance some of the existing facilities, which was 62 million. Interest payment was close to 40 million. 11.7 million was others, which was largely the dividend payout to the joint venture partner, CPAT, which is there in the SMT business. And this all led to a cash and cash equivalent of 506 million at 31st March 2017. I move to slide number 13, which gives a detail on cash and debt. We look at that the gross debt was increased from 694 March 16 to 1021, which is March 17. This is again coming from the bond. But if you look at, there is a significant increase or a corresponding increase in the cash balance as well. On a net leverage basis, we were at 1.43x, which was significantly better than 1.77x, which was in March 16. If you look at slide number 14, it shows us the liquidity status and the leverage ratios. The liquidity status combination of the committed revolving credit facilities unutilized portion was close to 340 million euros. We had cash and cash equivalent of 506, which led to a available liquidity to the company of 846 million euros. We were at 2.78x in terms of the gross leverage, which is the threshold of 3.5 as per the bond covenant. And on the net leverage, we were at 1.43 against the bond covenant or the RCF covenant of 3.25. If you look at on the small chart on the right-hand side, it shows the maturity profile of the gross debt. And we see here that in the next 3 years or next 4 years, there is no significant maturity of the debt. And then there is a maturity which is falling in 4 to 5 years for 863. This is again largely coming from the bond. And then for more than 5 years is again coming from a 100 million euro bond, which is there. With this, I would like to finish my presentation, conclude my presentation, and hand over back to Mr. Vaman Sehgal. Vaman, back to you.
Thanks for that, Vipin. I'd like to give it back to the operator, please, to open the floor up for questions.
If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. If you change your mind and wish to remove your question, then please press star 2. And please ensure that your phone is not muted locally. The first question comes from Kapil Singh from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the detailed explanation and congrats on a great set of results. I wanted to check on the regulatory and technology changes which are taking place. What are some of the big things that will drive growth over the next maybe 3 to 4 years. If you can help us understand that.
Okay, thanks for that. I guess the biggest things that we need to talk about here are, of course, the trends that are happening in the automotive world. Definitely, as we move towards more of a push towards electrification, autonomous cars, connected cars, we believe that a lot of our products, which are the key real estate in the car, will play a good role. We have a very good opportunity to become a system integrator, and that's something that we've been focusing on. Although it will take time, I think people believe that it will happen much quicker, but if you understand that in SMR, just the first basic change, which we believe will be the shift of the mirror to a camera, integrated mirror, and then eventually onto a camera, the first big program that we are seeing, in Japan is just a handful of few thousand cars. So even though the regulation has allowed it right now, there is still, a lag for that to come. Still, a lot of the large countries have not allowed complete movement from let's say, mirror to cameras, and it will take time. So I think the most important thing to realize is that we are ready for this change when it will happen, but we don't believe that it will happen at least in the next till our 2020 target. After 2020, it will probably be something that we need to assess. If it's happening faster than we expect or not. But really, the orders that we're seeing in hand, at least for this change, we're not really seeing it come up as fast as everybody thinks it will, cause a disruption like that.
Okay. Thanks for that. And what about SMP business?
In SMP, again, I think, the interiors become a lot more relevant when we talk about these changes in the automotive industry. We are working very hard. I think we've discussed a lot about our technology strength and how we have won the E-Class, producing it with low weight materials and hence being able to win that contract worldwide. And again, we are working on being a system integrator where we can link all our products together and be able to give a good solution. But again, it's much slower there than even SMR. So we don't see any big disruption in the orders that we have right now. But our teams are working very hard. We have built a company called Motherson Innovations. We have been briefly touched upon that as well. This is to integrate all our products and to make sure that we are in sync with the changing trends and being able to give a lot of these exciting solutions as and when these things happen. So we are also partnering with a lot of car makers on the concept vehicles and things like that. But again, it's to be seen how quickly they really become main scale.
Thanks. And is there any breakdown available for the 4 billion new order wins between SMR and SMP?
We don't give a breakdown between the two companies. Definitely, the size of SMP is larger because the parts are larger, so it has a larger chunk of SMP in there just because of the nature of the beast. But we do not give a breakdown between SMR and SMP, but I can assure you that it's a healthy mix between the two. We haven't seen any big change moving out from one company to another.
Okay, thank you.
The next question comes from Sonal Gupta from UBS Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, just a couple of accounting-related questions or related to that. Just to understand, I mean, could you repeat the part on receivable amortization? I mean, just the explanation that was there. Sorry, I missed it a bit.
Yeah, I will explain that. So what happens is, if you look at the total receivable which comes on the balance sheet, and this time we have broken up receivable into three parts. So one is a normal serial receivable, which means that we supply to the OEM and then we get the payment within 45 days, 30 days, or whatever is the payment term. So this is number one. And this is what you see on slide number 10 is reflected as 26 days. So this is number one. Number two, there are a couple of receivable which are not paid upfront. So there is an understanding with the OEM that these would be amortized over the program life on piece price. So there are some ancillary equipment. So on the tooling side, we sell the tool to the customer because the tool or the mold is the property of the customer. But then there are a couple of secondary equipment which are used as a part of the assembly or the manufacturing process. So we invest in this from a cash point of view, and then we sell it to the customer, and customer pays us through the amortization, which is a per piece amortization, which means that they divide the total receivable over the program life volume, and then they add on the piece price. So this is how this is getting recovered. The average amortization period again depends from program to program. It can be 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, but then on average it would be in the range of 4 to 5 years. And then we have to carry this amortization receivable over the next 4 years. So we do this invoicing at the time of the start of project. So once we start the commercial supplies, we do the amortization, I would say revenue recognition, as well as the long-term receivable, and then this starts getting depleted over a period of, you know, program life. So this is the second element. And the third element is the engineering work in progress, because we keep on investing on the tooling, which the customer pays us at the time of start of commercial production. But then there is always a time lag between we buy from our supplier and then sell to the customer. So there is always a time lag, and this is getting reflected as the engineering working capital. Since we follow IFRS, we have to follow a percentage of completion method, and we follow this percentage of completion method at a zero profit basis, which means that whatever is the engineering work in progress as at a balance sheet date, we have to recognize this as a revenue. So this goes and reported as revenue, and then correspondingly this is shown as a receivable. But then this is just a reclassification. So you see 22 days as an engineering work in progress, which was getting reported as receivable. I hope this explanation is sufficient.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. That's very detailed, and thanks. So just on the zero profit basis, so you will not book any on the tooling side till you complete the project, you will not book any profits, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yes, that's the practice which we have been following. Yes, that's correct.
So the profits can be lumpy, right, in that sense, because if you complete a major project, then...
I would say yes, theoretically yes, the profit can be lumpy, but again, you know, if you look at our you know, revenues on the engineering side, because we are in a growth mode, so we always look at a 14-15% revenue growth. So I would say over a consistent basis, this gets even out, but theoretically, if we have to, you know, sell the complete WIP on one day, then yes, the profit can be lumpy, you know. This is a theoretical argument, but we have seen, you know, since we are in growth mode, there are always new projects which keep on getting into implementation mode. Like in the current year, we started production from Mexico, China. Next year would be a couple of other projects, so it gets even out over a period of time.
Okay. And just on the cash flow statement, you've shown a plant and equipment of 243 million, while on the capex slide there is 319 million. So just the reason for the difference of that?
So the difference is, you know, I was also trying to explain on the payable side. If you look at again on slide number 10, and on slide number 10 you see an increase in the payables, and the increase in payable is largely coming from, you know, some of the capex supplier, because when we buy some of the equipment on the capex side, and all the equipment are highly engineering equipment, we have to approve our paint shop, we have to approve our injection molding machines installation, and even the buildings also for us are highly engineered buildings. So there is always an approval time which is there for all these, you know, capital equipment purchases, and the difference is on account of the increase in the capex creditor, which is getting reflected in payables.
Okay. And just lastly, on the debt profile, I mean, you have all the debt coming in 1 year on like 2021 or something. So, I mean, and you did a couple of bond issuances this year also. So why have this sort of why didn't you not spread it out, just to understand this thing?
No, so while you're seeing the bonds being lumped up at 21, the fact is, they are of different duration from a call perspective. So while they were done from a overall aggregate basis, it's linked up to 21. And as you know, we follow a 2020 business plan concept, because of which we had planned the debt to be at 21. But from a call perspective, they are all at different dates.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you so much. Thanks for answering my questions.
The next question comes from Kashish Goyal from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Please go ahead.
Yeah, basically, I just wanted to ask. So there is a, probably a lot of people are calling that in few years' time, there will be a massive shift towards electric vehicles. I know that your products will still be relevant even if they shift to electrical vehicles. But I was looking at Tesla supplier base. I guess you are not currently supplying to them. So how are you preparing for this challenge? Because, I mean, Tesla already has a supplier base, right?
We already supply to Tesla, first of all. We are supplying our products to Tesla. So I don't know where you've checked your supplier base from, but we are already supplying to Tesla.
Okay, you already are on the Model S then. Okay. So because I was looking at this supplier.
Models, I can't disclose the models, but we are on, we are well entrenched into Tesla.
Okay, and does the content per vehicle change for you in terms of electric car and the same premium? So if I'm looking at a Mercedes S-Class or a Tesla Model S, does the...
So definitely different models, different usage of our products. Definitely depending on what the customer wants, that's what we really put in. But as we said before, we have an opportunity to become integrators as we're getting more and more electronic components in there. We have built Motherson Innovations to lead that initiative, to be able to bring a lot of our products more and to increase that content even further. So that's something that we are trying to do.
And also, the last question, basically, also...
Add, probably the simplest answer to that is yes. In an electric vehicle, pretty much the content of all our products will go up. If you have seen the design of some of the electric vehicles, they are typically more aesthetically oriented because the room factor of the powertrain doesn't exist in the electric vehicle, and hence the user has more time, is looking at more aesthetic elements in order to excite the guy to buy the electric vehicle. So in essence, the content both for interiors will go up. The exteriors typically carry, different kind of cuts and finishes just to create that aesthetic appeal. I mean, if you look at an i8 as an example. So yes, the content feel in general will and should go up for SMRP products in an electric vehicle.
Yeah. And my last question is on the CAPEX. Basically, I noticed that a major part of CAPEX is being incurred in US and Hungary, and these are places where you are supplying to Daimler. So how should we look at the order books? Should we look at the order book in the same proportion as the CAPEX spend in the geography? What I meant is that, say, for example, 50% of your CAPEX is in this year has been spent in US and Hungary, right? So, and that is linked to Daimler. So should we look at, from a modeling perspective, that going forward, that of the orders that you receive, 50% or 60% would come from Daimler? Can you give us some guidance on how this, will move? I'm not asking for a number as such, but is my thinking right when I'm looking at this number?
Yeah. So look, I think first of all, please appreciate whatever CapEx that you're seeing here is against our order book. Right. So yes, the Tuscaloosa plant that is coming up is largely for Daimler. Similarly, the Mexican plant was largely for Audi. The Kecskemét plant will again be largely for Daimler, but it has certain Audi orders as well. Now, the fact is when we are setting up these plants, it's been piggybacked on the order book that we have. But obviously, what we hope to do is use the base to then kind of expand the both the product portfolio potentially as well as the customer portfolio in order to make it again not dependent on a single customer necessarily. So while the base gets created by the order that we have, but the subsequent orders should come from potentially other customers as well and thereby help diversify that particular plant's customer base. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does. Thank you.
The next question comes from Sahil Kedia from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I have a question regarding the working capital. We're seeing that the receivables engineering WIP is a pretty large chunk of the working capital. Can you please share some light on how the working capital is likely to change once the new facilities that are being built up come into fruition?
Sorry, maybe I missed the question. Could you just repeat again?
So a question is on the working capital side. You've given, which is on slide 10, you've given the details on the working capital in which the receivables number is a very large number. I'm just trying to understand how should we think about working capital once the new facilities come up on stream. So do we see some of these working capital items start to come down? How should we think about this working capital cycle in your current phase where you are building up new capacity?
Okay, no, you're right. As some of the new orders do come into fruition and the ramp-up occurs, the tooling associated with it obviously gets sold prior to the production getting commenced. So as the new order, the current order book kind of comes into production and as some of the new plant starts, kicking in the production in, you should expect the engineering inventory to come down substantially. Having said that, that's the view from where the current order book stands and the current capexes that's ongoing. Obviously, it's a running business. As new orders keep coming up, there might be changes that occur. But at a very, very, let's say, ballpark level, obviously, when you're setting up a greenfield, there is a, let's say, bulky nature of some of these investments come in. But in general, you should be able to see some level of correlation between the size of the order book and the size of the engineering inventory.
Is it possible for you to give an industry understanding of what a normal working capital cycle should look like for you guys? If there is no major... either in number of days or something like that?
You can look at it, which is outside of the engineering inventory, yes, and Vipin can potentially take you through that. But the engineering inventory side is obviously a little bit more difficult to generalize because it all depends on the order, the nature of the order, and the nature of the products that are getting made.
So I can make a couple of comments. So, if we again look at, and as Kunal mentioned and was trying to explain the little bit of a bulkiness on the engineering inventory. But for the time being, if we normalize the engineering inventory, because it's a growing business, so definitely there would be some inventory. If you ask me, our average working capital should be in the range of 13 to 15 days. And this is what we have been seeing. And if you look at the inventory, which is pretty consistent at 15 days, receivable again is pretty consistent at 26, 27 days, and amortization and engineering, working capital will be part of the business because we are in the automotive, as a tier one. So it would definitely be part of the business. Currently, we are working on significant greenfield, so we can see a little bit of an increase in the engineering working capital. But I would say, on an average basis, it should be in the range of 15 to 17 days, on a combined basis. The payables, again, if we eliminate the impact which is coming because of the engineering working capital and maybe a little bit of a capital expenditure, again, should be in the range of 50 to 54, 55 days. So if we aggregate all of this, we see a consistent, working capital in the range of 13 to 15 days, which should be a steady state working capital, which was there in March 16 as well, just to give a reference.
Thank you. That is very helpful. Last question to Vaaman, if I may, and this I apologize if this has been answered before. I just wanted to understand that with the acquisition of Kobac, I know you've mentioned that it is a specialist in three-dimensional items, and we've now changed the name to Motherson Innovation Lights. I just want to understand what are the various discussions that we've got with clients, or how does this help you within SMR to either capture new businesses, and how are we thinking about this?
Okay, thanks. Sure. So, the whole idea of Motherson Innovations is that it's able to use the new technologies that we are looking at and to supplement the existing companies and bolster them more and to be able to give more let's say, opportunities to the car makers to display new features on the car. So this was more for the SMP side and, enabling them to put new and exciting lighting technologies for their instrument panels and be able to, again, go back to the customer for the new models that will come out and be able to show our showcase of technologies to be able to bring some of these new technologies on. So that's the whole role of Motherson Innovations, that we are able to bring a lot of other smaller size, medium size companies, and again, using the existing portfolio that we have, using the synergies of the cross products that we have. If you remember, we're the only ones that are exterior and interior capable for the plastic parts. So we're able to, again, devise strategies and bring in technologies for both these products and offer it to the customer as one solution. That's what makes it really attractive, and that's what we're trying to do.
Okay, thank you so much. That's very helpful.
The next question comes from Chirag Shah from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on the SMP side, between exterior and interior, how would a revenue breakup would be or revenue mix will be for FY17?
I don't think we give breakups between exterior and interior. Kunal, do we, Professor, are we able to disclose that or we don't do that?
No, so Vaman, on our interior and exterior, because we don't do a segment accounting on the interior and exterior, so we don't split the revenue from an accounting point of view, but it would be pretty balanced. If we talk about interior exterior, it would be pretty balanced.
Pretty balanced, right? So around, this is helpful. The second was to Vaman, when you say we have opportunities for being system integrator, what are the new business opportunities that could emerge and what exactly you mean by being a system integrator? And also, how far is this opportunity? Can we see some visibility in the next 2-3 years or it's more of a the innovation kind of a stage? Can you throw some light on this? It would be helpful.
Okay, so I guess the answer would be really it depends on the car makers and how quickly they're really pushing these trends out. So there is a prominent electric maker that electric car maker that we've been able to put our system on, where we have been able, again, this concept where we've been able to put instead of mirrors, full camera system, and be able to integrate it on in the interiors with the display systems. So that kind of integration now is possible by us to do. That's something that we are striving to do. And again, because the dashboard is a key product of ours, we want to be able to make sure that in the future we're able to give these offerings as and when they're taken by the car maker. But again, it's happening much slower. The number of orders, again, like I told you, the number of countries that are pushing the regulations, there's only a handful of countries that have really allowed a lot of these cars with like mirrorless, for example, to be in, which is the most first step, I think, of really this trend really happening. And if you look at it, Japan took the lead. And like I said, other than a handful of few thousand cars, there really hasn't been that much of orders out there for this complete change. So it all depends on the car makers. We have an opportunity, again, to integrate all our products and to integrate a lot more electronics and our electronics capabilities and to give it to the car makers as one complete system solution. Ken JV, you heard about Kobec, we acquired them. So, we are quite flexible depending on what the car makers want and what solutions they really need. And it's definitely going to play out in the longer run. At least in 2020, like I said, none of this is going to be mainstream and may even take to the 2025 period.
Fair point. This was really helpful. And one last question on the CAPEX front. So, would it be right to assume that most of the greenfield projects would be up and running by 19 and there are no major CAPEXes or major greenfield projects involved, so the CAPEX intensity will go down based on current scenario? If even new businesses, that's a different...
For the order book that we have currently that we have just explained, all these capacities which will finish, like Vipin explained, in the first quarter of next year, trickling in, the existing capacities are enough to sustain all of these orders. Now, if we get another new big order and a new geography or a new product line or something like that, we'll definitely come and inform you about it. But as per the current order book that we have in hand, and please note that we are winning orders you know, every quarter, so it does change. But as of right now, we are, the capacities on hand are sufficient to deliver the entire order book.
And the clarification on receivables on the engineering WIP, this would be a part and parcel of business, both amortization as well as engineering one, because even when a new model is, when an upgrade is launched, for example, if you are supplying to A4 and when a new A4 comes, there would be engineering WIPs or receivable amortizations which would be there. So some part of this is reoccurring and will always be there in our financials. Is that the right way of looking at it?
Yeah, so this is the right way of looking at it. So what we do, you know, in the financial statements, because in the financial statements are governed by the IFRS standard, so you see a consolidated number, but our endeavor is to give more and more transparency to all the analysts and to all the investor, and that is the reason we have done this for the first time, and we will try to follow a consistent disclosure going forward in the presentations.
No, fair point. But so this it could be around 8-10 days is a normal number we should go with, right? On any given point of time, there would be some amortization, some engine WIP will always be there in our, as a part of our business.
Directionally, this is correct. And you have the information for the last 3 years, which is March 15, 16, 17 on the slide. But directionally, you are correct. It will never be zero.
Fair point. This was really helpful. And all the best.
The next question comes from Kapil Singh from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so maybe it's a bit early, but just wanted to check if you identified any areas where there will be synergies with PKC.
Yeah, so, you know, I think a big part on the last call that you said, Dad also mentioned that there are huge opportunities, but they will take time to play out. I don't think they play out immediately. And again, for the newer orders is something that we will target. And as we do with all our businesses, when we acquire them, first we look to integrate them completely and make sure that they stabilize the entire boat and get it exactly as to how Motherson has all their other units running, and look for these opportunities with the customers together to figure out on cross-selling. And cross-selling is definitely a big opportunity, definitely with the PKC acquisition. But it takes time to play out.
Yeah, but just to highlight and to be, you know, amply clear about this, first of all, PKC is not an SMRP, so it's outside of the bond group for which this call is. And secondly, there are some synergies of PKC with SMRP from perspective of access to commercial vehicle customer perspective, which is the cross-sell that can work out, but none of this is right now in the order book, and it's not something that is planned immediately either. It takes time to enter into some of these, and these are typically very long duration contracts of 10, 12 years. But from SMRP BV's perspective, PKC is not an SMRP BV. So just to be clear about that.
Yeah, sure, sir. Thank you. That's it from my side.
The next question comes from Sonal Gupta from UBS Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking the question again. Just a question on what is the expected capex for FY18 and 19, if you, on what are your current targets like?
Sonal, we have given this guidance in the past, and this is, you know, we are talking about an average capital expenditure in the range of 250 to 275 million euro per year over the next 2 to 3 years. And we, as we already explained, that we have done a significant capex this year and next year as well, because we are completing 2 plants. So we will see a tapering down of the capex as we move towards, you know, 18, 19 or 19, 20. But then the average amount would be in the range of 250 to 275 per year.
Again, let me clarify. For the perspective of the current order book, the capex will taper in 18-19.
Right. No, so just in terms of given what you've spent already, I mean, could you guide as to what is expected for FY18 or FY19?
That's what we said. It was 250 to 275 million is what we had originally guided for. It remains at that level of ballpark.
And this three-year period is 17 to 19, or what is it?
That's right, at a ballpark level, yeah. I mean, obviously things change depending upon when the SOPs of the customer finally get decided and when we need the plant really up and running. But yeah, at with current juncture, yeah, that's probably the visibility that we have.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
As a final reminder, please press star one for any further questions. There are no further questions on the line, so I'll hand back to you, Vaman, to conclude the call.
Great. Thank you so much. I hope our presentation would suffice all your questions and you were able to answer the questions as well. As always, the presentation is on the website and we're available to connect independently for any offline questions through the email on the investor site. Thank you very much for joining this call and for your support to Motherson as always, and look forward to seeing you all in the next call. Thank you so much.